You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks.
Exciting. We are in the home base of 9to5.cc.
Well, aren't we? Sort of. I guess. The 9to5.cc studios.
That's right.
As you would. Which is, of course, the back of Grumpy's Bar.
Grumpy's Bar.
On Bishop Street.
That's right.
We literally just got out of one movie. 9to5 Goes to Fantasia. Today's episode is only going to have the one film in it.
That's
because,
right.
Because we got a bunch of stuff this weekend. And
other exciting things that I guess we won't talk about, but that are going to come
really
up pretty soon.
That important. So this episode is going to be up on Friday. There's going to be an episode of the 9to5 Entertainment System that goes up on Saturday. There is not going to be a 9to5 Goes to Fantasia.
But it's still something we do.
So it is something we do. So if you're listening to the podcast and enjoying it, you can check that out. But 9to5 Goes to Fantasia is going to be back on Sunday night, I think, is when we're going to record the next episode.
Yeah, maybe try and get it up that day.
Yeah.
If we can.
It might be late night, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
Let's hit it, man.
The movie that we watched tonight was
World Premiere of Toad Road.
Toad Road.
That's right. Written and directed by Jason Banker. And produced.
And?
Produced.
And
written,
directed,
produced, Jason Banker.
Yep. If you Google Toad Road, you won't just find the movie. You'll also find
the actual place,
because it's a for real urban legend.
That's
There's
right.
YouTube videos about it and all that stuff.
He grew up in this town called York, and they have this urban legend about a path through the woods with seven gates on it.
Yep.
And you go through the seven gates, and you go to hell.
Yeah.
Or maybe just get a $400 fine.
Or maybe you just get a $400
as
fine.
As he said, which is a thing
that could happen. So he made a movie about it.
Yeah.
We can even talk a little bit about the way he made the movie in the non-spoiler section.
Yeah.
If we want to, we sure can.
So,
depending on our listeners have come accustomed to it, we'll talk a little bit about the movie, we'll give a recommendation, then we'll talk a little bit about how it got made, and then we'll move
I like
to spoilers.
That, and then we'll spoil it. Okay,
there
so. Hi.
Hello.
Oh, I quit smoking. Sorry.
Sorry, good luck.
So we, Toad Road is a story about a young man and his friends who enjoy doing lots and lots and lots of drugs.
Right.
And,
then an out of town girl, I guess, joins
the crew.
Dates like the leader.
Yeah, totally the leader.
Dates the leader guy, and then I guess gets mixed up in their world of drugs, and then the whole entire thing is overlaid with, like we said, the urban legend of Toad Road.
That's right.
Stylistically, or I guess like thematically, it reminded me of something, but I have not been able to put my.
Would it be like Blair Witch Project meets Requiem for a Dream?
Maybe a little bit. It has a lot of, if you watch sort of like those like 70s or 80s, whatever else like that, like when they were like experimental movies where they're not a lot of like scripted scenes and a lot of like real improv, like the methodology of the film.
Can you name a film from that genre? I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I've seen them. I remember watching them in, like, high school when I was trying to be, like, brainy and stuff, like, looking up these movies and whatever else like that. Or I guess not maybe on high school. Early stage up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I totally don't get what you're coming from, but I think Blair Witch Project meets Requiem for a Dream.
That would be, like, the easy approach. But,
sure.
But like I said, there is a certain methodology that they employ where it's, like, you can sort of tell that the scenes aren't really scripted.
Yeah.
You know,
you
can. So if you're looking, again, for, like, something hyper polished and really scripted.
It's not there.
Which makes sense too, because the director was a documentarian.
That's right.
So
the documentary style really, really came out.
I
was sure that he was going for that in so many of the scenes.
There's a scene that looks like clearly shot with a hidden camera. Doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
It's just there for the aesthetic of having something with like a hidden camera shot.
Yeah, and this stuff there's a scene where they go and do a bunch of drugs in a cave and.
Yep.
In the cave scene, you could tell it was like just like in so many scenes, it was just him with a handy cam following them around.
Yeah. Very, very cool. So, John, did you enjoy this film?
I enjoyed this film. I didn't think it was like, I don't think it really succeeded 100% as a horror film.
Right.
I think it really succeeded a lot more as this, like a chronicling the degenerative spiral of drug abuse and breaking apart of people, and that the whole, like, seven gates to hell thing worked more, like, as a metaphor for drug abuse than it really did as, like, a horror vehicle.
Yeah.
And so, like, in a sense, like, when, like, the film being billed to me as this, like, marriage between the two, horror, 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 it really wasn't that much horror in the movie. It was definitely creepy, and there was spooky stuff.
Yeah.
But it was not a straight-on horror flick.
Okay. Yeah.
That said, I do love stories about kids doing drugs, and these characters were very interesting, super authentic. You could tell, I mean, it looked like they were just incredibly well acted. It turned out that they were not actors, and this was almost a straight-up documentary of these guys.
Yeah, but, well, that's it. When we said talking about the methodology, the guy, the name of the director, you'll have to remind me.
Jason Banker.
Jason Banker, like, literally went on MySpace
and,
like, picked... I guess a group of people that had like a top eight friends that looked like the look,
like cool.
I guess, that he was
like,
going for.
Yeah.
And then ultimately he made a casting of these complete non-actors who was like, had a concept. He knew he wanted to base it around the urban legend of Toad Road. And I guess he said that the ending didn't change much from his original ending to whatever, but didn't have a script, didn't know how which scene was going to be, like what scene for scene. Apparently like shot for a whole week. Just, like, fleshing out scene ideas.
Watching them get fucked up together, and then
basically
seeing, like, what the vibe is in the group, and who's going to end up being the main character. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is really cool. Like,
I think it worked astonishingly well.
I was, like, the James character.
Yep.
I was like, this kid's a good actor.
Yeah. turns out he's just cool to watch.
Turns out he's just a cool fucking kid, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I was a little bit shocked when I found out that none of these kids were actors. I mean, like,
some
of them it looked like, oh, this is a first film and these guys are not amazing on camera. But, like I said, the James character really blew me away. I can see why they picked him as the lead. Like,
yeah,
I
for
really,
sure, for
really
sure.
thought that this kid was a, like, legit actor.
Yeah.
And, and yeah, so that...
Would you recommend this film? I gave my sort of...
I would recommend this. This is, I think, the first film that, maybe other than The Ambassador, but that's a documentary, and it's sort of like recommending a documentary is a little bit different from...
Yeah, all yours.
Recommending a documentary is a little bit different from recommending like a film.
Yeah.
This is the first film that I would recommend to someone who is not a fan of genre film. I could recommend this to a fan of film. Like, if you like something that's a little bit more, like, experimental and stuff like that, if the methodology kind of sounds interesting, if you want to watch a fucked up movie about kids on drugs, you don't need to be a fan of horror, you don't need to be a fan of genre film to go check out this movie.
This is definitely not, like, Friday Night Date movie. This is definitely,
It's a
film about kids who get fucked up on drugs and, like, fall into this downward spiral.
Not saying I would recommend it to everybody, but it's the first film I would recommend to...
Non-genre
fans.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, it was, you know, like I would recommend this. I mean, like, if your parents, you know, want to watch a movie about some fucked up kids doing drugs and like metaphor of drugs, stuff like that, like, it's a recommend if your parents are into that, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you could recommend it to that your girlfriend's not into horror films.
And a little more. There's like a little bit more to it than maybe like Kids, which was the other obvious parallel fucked up on drugs. Like, that one was just like super raw and
dark.
Whereas this one does sort of have that spooky supernatural element ever so slightly.
I
also would recommend this, and I think in the same way that you would, and as like a personal note, I very much like this film. I would even say in a couple weeks I could stand to watch it again to try and catch a little bit more.
See if there's like a little extra tidbits,
a little
and things,
depth. I felt like maybe there's enough to the film that I would want to like see if I can plumb its depths a little deeper.
That was one thing that I thought was a little bit interesting. Is when you know how the film is made, and then you're trying to follow like you're following the story and stuff. Like, the story is very
simple.
It's like a lucid story. Like, it's not like, whoa, things are fucking crazy. It's not Lowlife.
Not
It's not like
there was that moment where they open up the ice box
the
cooler
ice
and you're like, oh fuck, it's gonna be starfish.
Yeah, it's not that out there. It's like the drugs are a lot more mundane. It doesn't come from licking starfish and stuff.
I realize that having made that joke, the subset of human beings in the world who have seen Lowlife and will be able to get that reference
go
is
back
like
to episode
basically
two, kids.
Like 150 people we watched it with on Sunday.
One people who visited the podcast.
Maybe people who visited the podcast. That's right. It's going to be starfish up in this bitch.
Exactly. We're going to fucking lick some starfish. Someone made that fucking joke. No, that was at Just for Laughs. Okay. Anyway, whatever. Someone talked about licking starfish today.
Really?
At one of the Just for Laughs panels, and I tripped out because I was like, I just saw a movie about licking starfish. Nobody else understood why I was like so
not
excited about the stray comment.
Okay, let's do some spoilers.
Jump into the spoilers.
Yep.
So
take it away.
First of all, and I mean, we did talk in the beginning section, before spoilers. They do all the drugs.
All like, of the drugs.
Like, they do what is maybe ketamine, might be mescaline.
Must have been ketamine.
Yeah, but then they talk about a trip. You don't really trip on ketamine.
Yeah, maybe.
They do acid. They do mush. They do ecstasy.
Fucking all the booze.
They do fucking all the booze. They do the Vicks Vapor Rub, blow it in the eyes thing, yeah. Like, which is...
They snort a condom and then pull it out their mouth,
that's
and the guy
a
is like, it's going to sting because it's got spermicide on it.
Yeah.
And then he throws up a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like, I love even the director was just sort of like, man, a lot of the stuff, there's a lot more drug stuff than I thought there was going to be in the film. So like these kids, that's just like what they're up to.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean,
and
like.
The thing was, if these had been actors doing those drugged up scenes, you'd know in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah.
But these guys fucking showed it, and it was raw and realistic, and I've never seen drugs done in a film to excess in a way that could sell it as well as these guys. Probably because they were not actors actually doing it, but whatever.
Yeah,
it worked. It worked so well.
The scene that I completely fucking forgot to ask a question about
was
to whether or not the main character was actually getting punched in the head. Like, those fucking shots look brutal. And
so
that's also the scene that was shot with, like, a hidden camera.
Yeah,
so,
or under a trench or something
like
that.
Like,
yeah.
Or exactly, like, because that fisheye lens kind of thing, it's you've seen it a lot, like purse cameras and stuff like that.
They're all
automatically
like that.
Have like a wide angle lens because you can't really point it very well.
Right.
So they usually flip on a.
The scene that Keith is referring to here is sort of towards the endish of the film.
Yeah.
The character, all kinds of bad shit has happened.
We,
which
we can
let
me
talk
just about
explain
it.
The scene.
We're in the spoiler section.
Yeah, I know.
You can talk up all kinds of bad shit. You can explain the
I figured I would just explain the thing you were talking about, and then we could go back and spoil more later.
Go.
So anyway, all kinds of bad shit has gone on. He's lost the girl of his dreams, and he's just like trying to destroy himself with drugs and whatever. And this scene, he's like on a boardwalk by the beach, and he's like obviously wasted off his ass and just getting people to punch him, like random passersby in the crowd, like punch me, try and knock him out. And it's fucking visceral. This guy is getting knocked around by huge dudes. And
yeah. I really, really intended on asking that question. It totally,
I'm sad that you didn't remember it now because I should have thought
too.
I do want to know. And it looked like he was really getting hit.
It
would not surprise me.
Really, really brutal. Like the way like he just sort of crumples and shit.
Okay. So what's the reveal? What's the kick?
So the big reveal is that this girl, Sarah,
who
is the out-of-towner that we talked about before, wants to do like more and more drugs, and her buddy James, or her boyfriend James, really, is like sort of almost trying to get off of drugs. Like, paradoxically, I suppose. Because his buddies just apparently only do drugs, and this girl wants to do drugs, and he's, I guess, thinking
about it. And she's like wrapped up into the mystique of drug use, thinking that it's like, I'm gonna see other worlds on my drugs.
Yeah. And I mean, and if you could fucking, who's to say she didn't, right?
No, she didn't. But it's the way that like 17-year-olds reading Carlos Castaneda books.
She thinks that going on the Seventh Gates of Hell trip there through Toad Road is gonna like get her somewhere, and that all the drugs are like getting her like sort of prepared to do this.
Right.
And then
they walk down Toad Road.
They walk down Toad Road. James and Sarah. James
didn't want to do it.
Doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
They say that the fifth gate of hell fucks with time and all that shit.
Yep.
And
nobody knows what's past.
And nobody
the fifth
knows what's
gate,
past
nobody's
the
ever
gate
made
of hell.
It.
Nobody's ever made it. Or they have, as we, you know, sort of discover in the film.
Sure.
And then he comes back and it's been 6 months, right? Six months have passed.
And all of his friends have abandoned their apartments. Everybody thinks that he murdered Sarah, the police.
Yeah,
like.
And but they can't find Sarah's
body. They can't
body
find her. Yeah.
At all. And there's, like, some cuts of them, like, fucking or something.
Covered in blood. Yeah.
And it's just, like, these really weird, like, clips.
Super disjointed.
Super, super disjointed that are sort of done, like, flashback style. But the cops really, like, literally.
They have no evidence,
they can't do
anything.
So basically he gets to walk. So it's sort of like. And then he gets picked up by a hitchhiker, and that's the film sort of ends the way that it started.
Well, no. You're mixing it up.
No. I mean, it's the ending of the film was at the beginning.
Okay. So
But there's two journeys down Toad Road, is what I can guess happened in the film. And it's a little ambiguous how this thing ends.
Right.
But the first trip, he goes with Sarah, and then she doesn't come back from Toad Road.
Right.
So, either like, whatever. She doesn't come back. He comes out 6 months later, goes back into the world, and just, like, everybody's left. He has nowhere to live. He goes to live at his uncle's place there. He gets more and more fucked up. He goes through that whole brutal self-destruction thing
on the
boardwalk. And then it cuts back to him, and then that's still in the summer, and then it cuts back to him waking up in the middle of the woods in the winter.
Yeah.
And my guess is he went back to Toad Road, tried to go and get her or find her, and again couldn't make it
through. Yeah, because there's the shots occasionally of her in silhouette and stuff.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the way I'm going to see it happening. And okay, let's
so
the only supernatural element to this film, basically, is the time jumps whilst on Toad Road and the fact that Sarah disappears.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, even no amount of drugs can explain tripping for six months.
You know,
like
that. Yeah. Or truly, truly, like, legendary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, even one of the characters says, he's like, you know, like, guys like us, like, we disappear and nobody cares.
Like,
nobody's like, we disappear for 1 or 2 weeks. Like, you know, like 1 or 2 weeks from fucking drug addicts.
Whatever.
You know,
but 6 months?
Yeah. So, yeah, the film is left, I guess...
Super ambiguous.
Super, super ambiguous.
Yeah.
And I mean, you don't even know. Maybe he killed her, or maybe she was right.
Or
maybe
she just got lost in the woods and died and never came out. I mean, that's the other option.
Or there is a supernatural possible twist, like that's left open-ended, that it was a real thing and that the Seventh Gate was a place.
Maybe it was.
Because she said that, you know, like, I think it's better. I think it isn't hell.
Yeah.
I think you can get to, like, a better place through there. So you don't really know come the end of it, which I think is cool.
Did it work, you think? Just the ending, the whole load up to it?
Yeah, I think it worked. I think I got that he didn't get to go and she maybe did, or something completely mundane and they're just a bunch of fucked up kids. Like, which is kind of like, it's okay to be open that way, I think.
I think it almost needed a little bit more supernatural element to like follow in as a real horror.
I sort of don't.
Yeah?
I disagree.
Okay.
Because then you would know that there was something supernatural. The way it is right now, you don't really know.
Well, no. Somebody goes into the woods and comes out 6 months later more or less the same.
Right.
Didn't starve to death, has no memory of the intervening time.
Yeah.
Something supernatural happened.
Right.
To me, that's unambiguous, especially because it happens twice.
But it's only really...
Yeah,
James' character decided to, like, keep it from people, he might have been lying.
Yeah?
We don't know. Like, it is presented in such a way that it could very well be supernatural, or he could have just been fucking around for 6 months and then finally decided to head back into the town.
Yeah, maybe. Like, the shots of her covered in blood, she's happy in them, and, like, laughing and smiling.
Yeah,
it's not, like, her terrified.
No.
No. Again, that's ambiguous.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad we can't come out to a real answer here because it, like, makes the film better.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, if he wanted to hide what happened for the 6 months, it's his word against anyone else's, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whatever it is, there's no evidence that she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the fuck actually happened.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other elements of the film.
So I think that's it.
That's it, man. I don't really have that much more to say.
Yeah,
I really liked it. Like, I'm saying, like, not super positive things, but... Like,
it's
maybe I'm getting nitpicky. It's totally worth the watch. And totally was, like,
right. So, I think
intense.
The next movies that we're going to have a podcast about, which is either going to be on Sunday or
Roller Town,
and I think we're also going to go try to see Human Race.
Yes.
And if I'm feeling really, really ballsy on Monday, I think I might try to pop into the media room and grab some
missed up Bone Boys, because we're going to miss Bone Boys.
Missing Bone Boys or missing Inbred. Bone Boys is, of course, the movie that we based our Fantasia comic on. Which is, like, tragic if we didn't get to see it. It's a spiritual successor to the Texas Chainsaw series, so that would have been super kick-ass to watch.
And all right.
You done?
Sounds pretty good.
Closing comments, John? Closing comments? Stay safe. Don't do drugs.
Stay in school, kids.
Don't wander down the fucking...
Don't go down Toad Road.
Don't go down Toad Road. Everyone, thanks for listening.
Yep.
Another episode of 9 to 5, Ghost of Fantasia. It's been great. We are almost done week one.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Anyway.
you're a fan of the show and the site in general, please take the time to like us on Facebook. We are number 9TO5DOTCC, 9to5.cc on Facebook. And also follow us on Twitter. We're at sign number 9TO number 5CC on Twitter. So and also be sure to check back on the site for something on Mondays, probably. We have Zombies and Loathing After the Bomb usually on Tuesdays. We have a new comic in 9to5 Illustrated every Wednesday, a new podcast every week, usually on Thursday. It's either going to be a 9ES or a Go Plug Yourselves. And on Fridays, we have Fine Arts with either Sophie and Scott. And, you know, maybe John will even contribute one of his mega articles at some point, too. You can only hope. All right, thanks.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.